This week's video is Stephanie's responses to a number of questions we got from clients, colleagues, to again, get into a little bit more of how she thinks about investing. We knew you were coming. As clients came into the office, we gathered a few questions. I sent out an email to the group. Anything you would want to ask? Here's some of those questions. We want to get inside your mind a little bit.
Sure.
Number one, just go right into the deep end of the pool with the hard ball. What is a decision, recent decision you've made in the last 12 to 18 months that hasn't worked out yet, but even still today, given your rationale for it at the time, you'd make that same decision again?
Yeah, I think it has to be housing because I really do believe very strongly that this is a long-tailed total addressable market. We are undersupplied homes by 4 million in the country. We have 5 million millennials that want to buy a first-time home. I don't know where they're living, probably in their parents' garage or something.
And I always wonder about these unhoused when I hear these numbers. I'm like, I know there are various, and I'm not trying to make light of it, homeless issues. I mean, it doesn't feel like 4 million. Like, where are these?
It's a lot.
It's a lot of basements.
And yeah. It's a lot of basements. And I think that what we've seen from the home builder community is they have been resisting building in the environment that we're in. And mm-hmm. the environment we're in is we have too high of interest rates.
Right.
But if you talk to some of the home builders, so the home builders have actually been buying back a ton of stock because they don't want to spend that money building. But if you talk to some of the home builders, I mean, they said that when interest rates fell very, very, very briefly in February to under 6% for a 30-year fixed mortgage, they saw demand substantially improve. It only lasted a week though, Tim. So I think it's not gonna take much because there is that pent up demand, but until you get interest rates at a 30-year fix in the fives, mm-hmm. probably low fives, I'm gonna be wrong. But in the meantime, these stocks are very cheap and I think the management teams are doing the best that they can.
Next question, particularly in light of any number of events, most recently, obviously, the outbreak of the war and correction we saw in March. How do you balance fundamental data versus gut instinct or something else when markets get noisy as they did in this March? How do you proceed with your decision making?
Well, I don't know. This year, I felt a little more confident in terms of adding to positions into the declines from the war, the news from the war. And the reason is I went back and I looked at other times where we've seen big sell-offs. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, the end of March, early April is actually the seasonally the second slowest time for the markets. Mm-hmm. September is actually the worst, mm-hmm. As you would imagine. Not October though, which is interesting because mm-hmm. that gets a bad rap.
Right.
So I went back and I just I looked at other times where in the springtime when we sold off, what happened? Mm-hmm. And we talked about Liberation Day. If you sold on Liberation Day and you didn't buy, you missed out on a 34% return in the S&P
right.
500. Same thing with Silicon Valley Bank happened in March of 2023.
Right.
And if you sold on that, you would have missed 78%. And then COVID, we know spring of 2020,
right.
if you sold, you would have missed 198%. Those are really big numbers.
Yeah.
And
there's still, we know. You're like, well, I'll get the next pullback. You're like,
right. I mean, everyone says they
19
buy
19 buses have gone by, buddy. I don't think you're getting on the bus next time.
No, everyone says they buy low and sell high, and they don't. They buy high and sell low. It's very emotional business. It's very hard. So what I try to do is I stick to my themes. I stick to good big blue chip quality companies mm-hmm. that are on sale.
Yeah.
And they get kind of thrown out with everything else.
Yeah.
And that's the opportunity to upgrade a portfolio. You can own the number one company down 10, 15, 20% because the whole market is selling off, but you don't have to buy number three or four in
right.
the industry. They're number one for a reason.
Right. I think this one is interesting. What is the most overrated investment metric that you see others try to use in guiding their investment decision, or maybe even just talked about in the press or media?
I think that, I think momentum investing is overrated. I think it is amazing on the way up,
mm-hmm.
but when it reverses, mm-hmm. it's impossible to to understand how much downside there is. And so I like to look at a lot of different valuation metrics, mm-hmm. not just one, but right. four or five different. I like to compare the company I like to other companies in the industry. I like to focus on the management teams too. That all kind of helps me. But I do think momentum investing, it sounds good and it's fun on the way when these stocks are moving higher. I just wouldn't use that as an investment decision process.
Gotcha. Try to sneak a few more in. And this might be particular to today. It could be as a general rule, but what is a risk you believe individual investors often underestimate? Again, it could be a threat today, could be.
I mean, I just think a lack of diversification. I think everyone today is jammed up to their eyeballs in Mag 7. Mm. And rightfully so, they have been amazing investments, right. but they have huge embedded gains and they don't want to take the tax consequence of trimming some along the way, which I understand, nobody likes to pay taxes. But as a consequence, you have a very concentrated part of the market that a lot of people own and think that they're going to go up forever. And I just don't think that, you know, trees don't grow to the sky.
Right. Well, and people forget it was a pretty nasty drawdown in 22. I question how many people got out only to get back in at a later higher price. What do you think is the most misunderstood market narrative today?
The most misunderstood market narrative. It would have to be that technology is going to pull out of the funk that it's in, meaning software, and that you could buy broad based technology. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case, because I do think we are seeing a broadening out, which I think is very, very healthy. I've been waiting for it for years, but I think that
into other sectors.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up with this. An impossible question, just kind of how we started. Where are we in the investment cycle currently, or do you believe the classic cycles have seen a structural change?
I think we are in a structural change with regards to AI and that food chain that we talk about, because that's real, that's new. We're in very early innings. We haven't seen it since the internet. Mm. And so I think that the internet
cycle,
and
it's supposedly going to come a lot quicker. I know our colleague Robert Picardo say, that was a 20, 25 year plan. This will be 7 to 10 years in terms of.
It's still a long time.
Yeah.
It's still a long time. Yeah. And
we're just seeing big impact.
Yes. And I think no matter who's in the administration, it's going to continue, because I get that question a lot, right? That, well, what if, the Republicans lose and you have a Democrat? It doesn't matter. This has everything to do with growing the economy.
Right.
And I think both sides want to see growth.
Definitely need it. Well, always fun to learn from you.
Thank you,
as always. Thank you for watching.
Ten Capital is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Some investment professionals may also be registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties, express or implied, as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for any action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced in the document. Such data and other information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.